Well, it's good to be here. I've been praying for you. And ever since Zach and Lydia decided, Brother Zach and Lydia decided to come up here and plant their lives here and serve God. And, you know, as a believer, everything we do, it's to be about God. It's to be for His honor and for His glory. And I believe most of the time we have to learn that. I had to learn that very, very much. And so I'm very thankful that they're here. When he found out from God that he wasn't going to be able to go back to China, he was going to find a church or start a church or something. I tell you how much influence I have on him. I said, that's fine with me, but you got a 3-county radius from here. And he quite exceeded that. It's 10-hour driving, eight and a half hours full-time driving to get to where we live. But I'm thankful they're here, and I'm thankful that you're here. It's exciting that each one of you are here, and I know God's blessing. And my heart is that He'd bless tonight. I believe when we come together, that it ought to be a great time. And we ought to come seeking God. I've been dealing a little bit lately that we need very much to prepare to come to church. And we don't just show up and hopefully preacher can do something for us. That's not the point here. We've come together as a body of believers to seek God. We ought to have been seeking God all week long, all day. We ought to have been praying for the service. We ought to come wanting a need met every time. And I think if we do that and really come filled with the Spirit of God, come with the right heart, God would just do something great for us every time. I believe it ought to be great every time we meet. Special Spirit-filled service. And if we come right, with the right heart, I believe God will do that every time. So when we don't have that, it just, well, God didn't do much today. I'm really thinking that it's our fault as believers. And I'm not trying to condemn you in any way. I'm talking to myself too. I think that's the way every believer needs to approach church. And church, of course, church is a place that we serve. But it's so good. I want us to go to Psalm 37 this afternoon. I tell you what, I will not exhaust this psalm tonight. It is something that is absolutely big. If you're able to stand, let's stand. And I'd like to read the first 10 verses of Psalms 37. Amen. It's a psalm of David, and the word of God says this: fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, and those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a wicked. I don't want to be one outside of Christ. They don't prosper, God says here. But I want us to pay real close attention to verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I'd like for us to think about that, about the desires of our heart. and that God would give us that desire. The heart's a big deal. The heart is extremely important. So let's pray. Lord, please, bless now. Lord, you know we prayed for this service. We've sought your will. And Lord, we feel so unable to preach your word, but in your power, it can be done. And we ask you for that tonight. We ask you, Lord, to open our hearts. We ask you, God, to give us what that we need as a people. We ask you, dear God, to help us to have this great gift of your giving us the desires of our heart. And Lord, it would be the most glorious thing. And I ask you, God, to bless your word, the reading of your word. I ask you, God, to make it come alive now. I ask you, alive to us, it is alive, but alive to us individually. And Lord, help us to consider the state of our heart. And Lord, take over our heart and bless now as only you can. I pray, God, that we'll not be the same, that our heart won't be the same, that we'll understand the need of this gift. God, please help us. Our desires would be from you. Please use me. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. It's in your precious name we pray. Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. We have a lot of comment about the heart, don't we? We have people talk about loving with all their heart. We have people that don't know God talking about loving from their heart. And when we Christians talk about the heart, most times we'll pat our chest where our heart is and we'll talk about the heart, but that blood pump is not what he's talking about. The heart of a person, it's special. It's our innermost part. It's our conscious being. It's our inner man. It's our mind. It's our understanding. I think it's the very seat of our emotions. It's what we come to direct our life with. It's our heart. And you know, saved people and all people have desires in this inner man, the innermost part of us, the desires that we want, the things that would please us, the things that we would like to be or do. And it's so important that we understand that God needs to give us those things. With everything, man, if God gives it to us, it'll be right, won't it? Listen to what the Lord said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. It says, a good man, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I bet that you have many times opened your mouth in anger, or opened your mouth when you could have kept it shut, and you said something, and if you're born again, immediately it comes to you, I shouldn't have said that. Or why did I say that? And that comes from your heart. That's really who you are, what you just said, that you're kindly ashamed of now. And so it's important. Notice he says that a good man, a born-again man, out of the treasure of his heart, the wealth of his heart, the deposit of his heart is what that word treasure means. That's put in us, in our inner man, that's what's going to either bring forth good or that's what's either going to bring forth evil. And you know well enough, you don't want evil. We don't want that. And so this abundance of the heart, it sounds like to me the heart is very important in a Christian's life. What do you think? I believe it's very important. How we feel on the inside, what we desire on the inside, it's absolutely of utmost importance. So verse 4 says that we're to delight ourselves, thyself, delight ourselves also in the Lord. That word delight means that we're to be glad in the Lord. We're to be excited in the Lord. And isn't it easy for the old devil or the world or the flesh to claim the joy of the Lord, the excitement for the Lord? Listen, he gives us every breath that we have. He gives us what physical health that we have. He's really, absolutely, the provider of all that we have. And we ought to be just excited about who he is and all that he is and about his will. And that's what he's talking about here, about delighting ourselves in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I like to be around happy Christians. I like to be around encouraging Christians. And that is this thing of being very pleased with God. Have you ever been unpleased with him? You ever been unsatisfied with what you believe his will to be? Have you ever resisted his will? I have. I'm not trying to be holier than thou with you. I've done it. And I bet we all have. And that's not what he's talking about here. This thing of delight thyself in the Lord. I mean, we ought to know enough about him to be well pleased with every facet of our Lord. Every part of him is perfect and most wonderful. And so if we could come to the place as a believer to just be so excited that we know the Lord and that the Lord's way is right and the Lord's will for me is right. The commandments of God are not grievous. These things are great that God has provided for us as born-again believers. I'm glad that the Christian life is more than just getting saved. What do you think? I am thrilled that it's more than that and that I can be excited. I can be happy. I can have this delight in the precious Lord. So the treasure of my heart, the very deposits in my heart, that's very real. So doesn't it matter what we let affect our heart? Doesn't it matter what we take in and let drive our inner man, let drive our thought process, let drive our being, if you please? It's something else. The joy of the Lord. Years ago, I would let trouble in the church I was pastoring. I tell you, as a pastor, when a person won't take heed to God's word and they won't surrender to God and serve God and they choose to intentionally do something they know is not the will of God, it just breaks your heart. And I've let situations like that, I mean, you grieve for them, you pray for them, I would stay up at night praying for them, and I would lose the joy of the Lord. My heart would not be delighting. And so I come to understand what was happening. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to let anything take my joy away anymore. We ought to be joyful. Even in trials and tribulations and health issues, we can still be joyful and rejoicing in the Lord. My dear wife just passed 18 months ago, and my joy left. And I noticed it. And I said, God, I promised you I wasn't going to let this happen. And I began to beg him and to beg him and to beg him. And I got it back. I got it back. I still miss her tremendously, but I got it back. I still rejoice in him. And so this is from the heart. And so delighting in the Lord is a big thing here. Listen, our expectations, all of our expectations of our life have got to be in the Lord. He is our provider. You believe that? You don't want anything that he doesn't provide. I bet you're no different than I am. Many times I've prayed over a need and I've tried to tell God how to fix it. Let me give you some news. You don't have to tell God anything. He doesn't even need your advice. The Bible deals with that. We need him. So listen now. This heart is a big deal. That we're merry in the Lord, that we're happy in the Lord, that we delight ourselves in the Lord is a big thing. Now, I want to give you three things out of this passage that makes it possible for God to give us the desires of our heart. Now, if God has put the desires of my heart, the treasures of my heart in me, then I'm gonna have a good heart, right? My heart's going to be headed in the right direction. And I bet you're no different than I am. At times, I've had my heart headed in the wrong direction. So I want this, and you want this, that we would have him to give us the desires of a heart. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He's going to give us what we want. And that's going to be big, isn't it? Hey, all God's gifts are wonderful. And this is a biggie. And so the first thing I want you to think about that's in this passage is not to fret, verse 1, thyself because of evildoers. Now, listen, if you want to just concentrate your whole heart and mindset on the evil that's in this world, help yourself. I don't want to do that. I think it's very hard on a person. Man, you can let the news of our day just literally destroy you. Fret not thyself of evildoers. Don't let evildoers take you over. Don't let evildoers make you envious and jealous. I remember as a very young Christian, young adult, having children when Zach's mother was just a baby, and I'm working on the low end of the pay scale and going to college and doing all of that, that I could look down at some of my friends that didn't go to church and didn't tithe. And man, they had nice boats and they lived in better houses. And I said, boy, I could have that if I didn't give over 10% of my money to God and all of this. And I'm disobeying God's word. I'm fretting over evildoers. It's wrong to rob God. God says you won't profit robbing him. And I wasn't doing that, but there's part of this scripture says that we're to rest in the Lord and wait on the Lord and be found faithful to God. And so don't let evildoers mess you around. Many people in our society that love God, many people that are Bible people, they fret over evildoers and they try to fight evildoers. And they spend their whole ministry protesting abortion and protesting this and protesting that and fighting and striking out against them and all that. You know, the truth of the matter is that God has called us to live holy, to be holy Christians, bringing God honor and glory with our life. And he's called us to preach the word, to spread the gospel, to tell people how to be saved. He doesn't call us to take on every battle against all sin. If we get them saved, they'll get out of that. And so we're not going to be carrying signs down here and all that. We're going to be trying to win people to Christ. And so it's so important that we understand here that we're not to envy them. We're not to fret because they're prospering. But he deals with it here. They're not going to prosper. Their prosperity is very temporal. We're into everlasting life. We're into abundant life. And we got to understand these things. Listen to what Ecclesiastes 8:11 says. He says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set, rather, in them to do evil. Because God doesn't just strike them dead when they sin. Romans says they sin and have pleasure in them that do sin, Romans 1. It's because of the judgment. But that does not mean the judgment of God's not coming. You're going to stand under the judgment of God. And evil, sinful nations and people are going to stand under the judgment of God. That's what God says. And God says we don't need to fret over that. We need to pay attention to what God's called us to do as born-again believers. And we need to do our part there by submitting to him and living for him. Jeremiah deals with this heart thing. In Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, this is what it says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? I've heard that quoted and stated. And that's the heart of a believer. A believer can get that heart, but a believer's not supposed to have that heart. This is the heart of the natural man. If you're born again, you're not supposed to be the natural man. You're not supposed to have this kind of heart. And so, but that heart is very real. Desperately wicked, and who can know it? I'll tell you who knows it. And it tells, Jeremiah tells us who knows it. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows whether we've accepted his gift of the desires of our heart. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart I try the reins. I try the reins. I wonder what that is. You got a bridle or anything? You got a rein that in your heart that God can steer it like a horse and buggy? No, 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 no. That's the desire. The rein is the desire of the heart. I try, God says, I try the desires of your heart. He knows whether our desire is Him and His Word and His will and to be used of Him and to know Him. He knows what our desire is. That's what He's saying here. I, the Lord, search the heart. The Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. We're talking about the heart tonight. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Oh my. You know something? Out of the abundance of the heart, I said, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, we do what we do. Our actions, our lives, our witnessing, our obedience to the commands of God. All of that, however we are right now today, tonight, however you are, that's out of the desires of your heart. It's a heart thing. It's all a heart thing. So God knows. God knows. It would be good for us to know. You believe God will show you? I know He will. All you got to do is ask Him. All you got to do is get in the Word. The wicked are going to be seeming to be blessed. But the Bible says here in the end of what we read that you're going to look for them and their place is not. It's all for naught to be outside of God. It's of no value whatsoever. You can be multi-billionaires. I can't even fathom what that is. I hear it talked on the news. I can't fathom that kind of money. I can't understand it. It's too big for me. I can understand $1,000, but not that many thousands. They're not going to be. Don't let in your heart the devil to put greed. Don't let flesh take over and cause you to be greedy. Don't let flesh take over and cause you to be envious of anybody that's not serving God. Sometimes we get afraid to serve God, afraid that we'll have to suffer for God. That's not a big deal. He says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll never allow us to be tempted above that we're able to bear, but with that temptation make a way of escape. Oh, He's a glorious, wonderful God. In verse 3, He says this, and this is the next thing. Not only do we not fret over them, not only do we not envy them, not only do we not want anything to do with evil, according to the text, if we want Him to give us the desires of our heart. Then He says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Can I tell you, you need to do that from the heart, the very seat of you. Can I tell you that you need to do that? Because God says, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The greatest way that God feeds us is not physical, it's spiritual. He's promised to supply all our need according to His riches and glory. And He will provide for us if we serve Him. But we need to be fed from Him. We need to know Him. And we need to trust in Him. And you know, listen to Proverbs 13:4. Listen about it. But we can't be lazy. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. But the soul the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Laziness has no part in a believer. Physical laziness or spiritual laziness. I'm afraid that most believers are spiritual lazy. And we don't have because we ask not. We have not because we seek not. And we have not because we study not. And he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and believe in the Lord and put your confidence in the Lord. I said a minute ago, our expectations have got to be in the Lord. All of our desire must come through Him. And so it's important that we understand. It's so important. And I just believe that we've got to get something that God wants to give us so desperately. Listen at 1 Corinthians 4:5, as we think about living in this world. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God. The counsel of the heart is going to be judged. The counsel of your heart and my heart, the Greek word for that is belay. It means advice. It means purpose. It means will. God is going to judge. God is going to judge the purpose and the will of your heart. Boy, we need God to give us his heart. We need to give us the desires of our heart. Oh, my goodness. It's an awesome thing. Casting all your cares upon him, the Bible says, for he careth for you. Listen, it's so important that we trust in the Lord. Another word for trust is faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For they that come to God, come to him, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's trusting. That's faith living. If I seek him, I'll find him. If I want him, I can have him. If I really believe in him, he'll reveal himself to me. I've got to trust him with all I am. I can't lean upon my own understanding. I've got to acknowledge in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. In verse 5, it says, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him. In verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And buddy, it's so easy for flesh to try to get us out of this patient servant of God. Listen, church, you're going to have some patience here. You're going to have to really have some trust on God to fill this place. I'm telling you, in your flesh, you'll say this place cannot be filled. But if we trust in God, and we wait on God, and we let God give us the desires of our heart, there's no telling what he'll do. We limit God. God is unlimited unless we limit him. And it's so important that we understand, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe him with all my heart. Not only we got to trust him, the other thing I want you to think about is this delight. I talked about it a little bit. But delight thyself also in the Lord. The Bible says of the church of Ephesus that they left their first love. And he's to be our first love. We shouldn't love self more than God. We shouldn't love our mates more than God. We shouldn't love anything, things physical, anything more than God. I'm going to make a statement. It just come to me here. We shouldn't even love his church more than him. If we'll love him, we'll love the church. If we'll love him, we'll love our mate. I shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength, with all thy might. It's the first commandment. Love thy neighbors thyself, he says. But listen, it's so important that we understand the delight in the Lord. It's so important that we see it. It's so important. This obedient heart will be a delighting heart. And it's so wonderful to understand this thing. Listen to Psalms 27:8. When thou sayest, talking about God, it says, seek ye my face. When God says, seek ye my face, my heart saith unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's the heart we need. Whatever he says, I will. Whatever he says. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Lead me in the plain path. Oh, verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Oh, he's worried about the heart. He's concerned about the heart. He wants our heart to be right. He wants to strengthen our heart. Faith yields this. Obedience yields this. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I was in a new church plant in Spring Hill, Tennessee. My assistant out of Florida came up there and started a church, and God called him to Chile as a missionary. Had me to resign and go up there and take that storefront church. And I knew when I went there, my place was to get that church out of that storefront, get property and get it set up. Man, you're so blessed to have this property. We were paying $2,500 a month for a little old bitty storefront. And it was hard. But, you know, God just wants us to say yes. And he did the work. The church is trying to build a $700,000 addition now. We got the plan submitted to the city. It's packed out, and I'm so thankful. We need to let God have his way. We need not to question God. We need to let him be Lord. We need to delight ourselves in him. We need just to be excited about him and merry about the things of God and about him, his person, and all that he is. We need to quit judging things. We just need to be found faithful. Judge nothing before it's time, the Bible says. The Lord's the judge anyhow. And we're responsible for to submit to him and let him put in us himself. And I tell you, it's a glorious thing. The 100th Psalm is a glorious psalm. And it's all about this heart. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's a hard thing. Why is it that we go before the Lord and, dear God, I need this. Dear God, I want this. Dear God, I ask you to give me this and take this and meet this physical need, meet this health need. Where is this thing of coming in and worshiping God in our prayer time? See, there's something wrong in our heart when we don't come to him. We don't even realize sometimes who we're talking about when we're praying. We're talking to Almighty God in the name of Jesus. We should be entering into the throne room of God. You can't get an audience with the president. You may not want one, but you can get one. But you can get one with Almighty God, the maker and creator of everything. And we need to come as thankful people. Thankful people, making a joyful noise unto the Lord, realizing that he made us. For the Lord, he's good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. It's an awesome thing that God cares about how we feel on the inside. That God cares about what we desire. That God cares about the purpose of our life as far as we're concerned. So if we'll not fret over the lost and dying world except to see them saved, we won't fret over their successes. We won't fret over their popularity. And if we'll trust in the Lord, have faith, believe everything that He says and want everything He says and immediately want to obey what we find out from His precious Word, we need to trust Him enough to study to show ourselves approved unto Him. Rightly dividing the Word of God. We won't be ashamed. I contend this heart thing is a big thing. And I want you to understand it. I want you to understand it very, very clearly. It's so important. Listen to what Isaiah 58 says. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Boy, our world is full of that. We don't worship on the Sabbath. We worship on the resurrection day, the first day. That's when the church of the New Testament started worshiping. But it's a holy day. All this applies to our holy day. If we refrain from doing thy pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own way, not finding thine own pleasure, but speaking thine own, nor speaking thine own words. Listen to promise. If we will not do for us, he says, then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord. You'll be merry in the Lord when you deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow him. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord. Then when you keep the church, you're faithful on Sunday, you worship on Sunday. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause these to ride upon the high places of the earth and lead thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We get confused about ourselves. God needs to be our heart desire. He needs to give us this. Where your treasure is, the Bible says, there will your heart be also. And we've talked about the treasure of the heart, the value, the things that have been put into our heart. We got to guard our heart. We got to let our heart be totally the Lord's. When we do this, verse 4 says, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now that's a sure promise if we meet the ifs. All we got to do is do what God says, and he will give us the desires of our heart. Now I don't know whether you understand the importance of this thing or not, but it is so important that now, you're not any different than I am. I know you're not. We're all about the same. Is it? I remember being a young man when I was kind of like thinking about having a home and having a career and all these things. I had things I desired. Anybody else like that? And so I set out for that and I prayed about that and I prayed for what I wanted. And you know, I found something. It's better for me to pray for what he wants than what I want. Make sense? I have also figured out something. He's a lot smarter than I am. He knows more than I know. Matter of fact, he knows everything. So why don't I pray for what he wants? Listen, if he wants you, you know, we've got our ideas about the structure of the church and the structure of life, and there's this class and that class and this class and this, and all that filters into our heart, even in church, that they've got a better position than I've got. If I pray for what God wants, and God wants to make me the head toilet cleaner in the church, I'm over the toilets, and that's all my job is, take care of the toilets and the urinals. if that's what God wants for me, that's where I'm going to be happy. Now, I'm exaggerating, but I'm trying to drive on a point. It doesn't matter if God doesn't call a man to preach, unless that's what God wants. It doesn't matter if he wants you to be the head Sunday school teacher in the church, unless that's what he wants. If he wants you to teach the babies, then that's his place for you. That's where you're going to be happy. And when he gives us the desires of our heart, that's going to make that the most glorious job, the most satisfying thing that I've ever done. I'm keeping the nursery. I'm mowing the grass. You mow the grass, don't you? That's great. If that, I just want your will, God, for me. I want you to direct my heart. I want you to put the desires of me in me, him. I've pastored several very small churches. God, only the last church I had was the only church that I ever had. It wasn't in a mess, and God would send me there, and I'd have to straighten out the doctrine of the church and all this stuff. And in the midst of all that, I'd have a local preacher somewhere. How many people in your church? And I'd tell him, and he'd look down his nose at me. But I was right where God put me. And that's where I'm to be content. And so I think it's time that we understand this heart really controls us. And if we don't let God have it, we're going to be miserable people. You can be born again and be miserable. You can be born again and envy others. You can be born again and the devil tell you and you receive it to think that you're a nobody. If you're a born-again believer, you're not a nobody. And God has got a specific place for you, and he's wanting to put it in your heart. If you'll not fret over the evildoers, and you'll be found faithful, and you'll glory in him, he'll do it. Now, you're in a wheelchair, but he's not through with you. He'll do this for you. Huh? I mean this now. God means it. There's no respect of persons with God. Everybody has to get saved the same way. And everybody has to submit the same way. And if you studied the church, you know that the church is a body of believers. It's got hands, mouth, eyes, ears, legs, feet, arms. Huh? And you can be a hand and want to be a foot so bad you can't hardly stand it. And you're wrong. Huh? Who makes you a hand? God. He made us, not we ourselves. I need him to give me my desires. Now here's the last thought. I have always, in the flesh, I have always wanted to do everything I wanted to do. I'm the only one here like that, right? Some rich people try their best to do everything they want to do. And some of them are the most happy people on planet Earth. Some of them commit suicide. But let me tell you something. Now listen to me. If I let him give me the desires of my heart, all of them, everything from him, I can do everything I want to do. Absolutely everything I want to do. Because I want to please him. And what he wants me to do is what I want to do because he's given me that desire. Isn't that awesome? So I'm not fighting with him. I'm just submitting. And I want to do it. I'm pleased to do it. I'm excited. I'm telling you tonight, I'm as excited as I've ever been in my life to serve my God. If he opens a door for him to let me preach to you, it's a joy in my life. It's a blessing. I prayed about it 2 days now. I want God to use me for whatever he wants. A lot of retired preachers, they get on the phone and they call this guy and says, you know, I'm available. I have not made one call. If God can't open a door for me, I just want what he wants. Does that make sense? I just want what he wants. He's able to take me and do with me what he wants. I can do everything I want to do if he gives me the desire. I like that. You like that? I like that. I call it being the happiest duck on the pond. Yeah. I love this. The only place I've ever preached this is in one of the homes. People in assisted living, nursing home. They need this as bad as you do. Everybody needs this. Everybody needs to be saved. And everybody needs to let God give them the desires of their heart. Every person. Now here's the thing. You can say, well, that sounds good, but I just don't believe you do that for me. Well, you can say that. And you can go on with your own desires. And you can go on without the hand of God on you. And the peace of God, and the joy of God, and the absolute pleasure of just being His and serving Him. Or you can have it. I'm so thankful He won't give it to you, Duff, and not give it to me. I am so thankful I can have this. Because, you know, without Christ, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. Like Amos says, I'm not the son of a preacher. Huh? Just a nobody. I want God. You want Him? I want Him with all my heart. I mean that. Humble as an old yard dog, I mean that. I'm satisfied with Him. I really am. You? Are you satisfied? Will you let Him give you the desires of your heart? Will you trust Him? Maybe tonight we need to say, Lord, I haven't done this. And I've been kind of directing my own heart. And that directs my own life. Maybe tonight we need to confess to Him as believers. We do fret over this evil world. We don't trust Him like we need to. Our heart doesn't worship like we need to. It's a big thing to absolutely trust God with all of you. Someday God's going to say to you, I want you to meet this financial need. And it's going to be more than you've ever given. And you're going to say, I can't do that. And someday God's going to touch your heart. And He's going to say, I want you to do this job. And you're going to say, I've never done that before. I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm not educated enough to do that. I'm not strong enough to do that. But hear me, please. If God asks you to do something, you better do it. He won't ask you to do something you can't do in Him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Only in Him. He says, without me, you can do nothing. So are we going to trust Him and listen to Him and let Him make you folks some of the most precious folks on planet Earth, servants of God, followers of God, obedient to God? We got time for me to share Haiboy's experience. Haiboy and Yu Ming over in China, where Yu Ming was keeping house for his mom while she went to language school when they went over there. And they were in a house church. And they thought that they were saved. And when his dad, Brother Ed Ray, got to where he could clumsily speak some Chinese, I went on one of these trips with him, and boy, I felt so sorry for him, and I thought all the time while he was stammering through all this stuff, I said, boy, if they could just hear him preach in English. And he started his Bible study, and Hai Boy and Yu Ming come to the Bible study. And they understood all the gospel. It takes weeks and weeks to go through. They don't even know anything about God, so it takes weeks and weeks to go through it. And he got to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they had never heard of it. And so he was just another prophet. And so they come over to the house, and Brother Ray wasn't there, and Marta was there. And they said, we were believing in the wrong Jesus. Our Jesus wasn't risen again. He wasn't alive even. And we need to be saved. And they got out on their knees and asked the Lord to save them. And so in a little bit, they were going to do what y'all just did and start Truth Baptist Church and organize it like y'all just did. And Hai Boy, they are country people. They're poor people. When you get on a bus in Beijing, you can tell the country people from the city people. They're dirty looking and all this and very uneducated. You can spot them. You can spot them here at the door. And over in China, they have dowries. And Yu Ming, is it about $1,000, $1,500, something in that range, which is a ton of money. They had a one-room apartment, the whole room. Their bathroom was outside in a Johnny. And their running water was out in the yard with a faucet. Their bed was a piece of plywood laying on concrete blocks. Their walls had paper on them, newspapers. And this diary, big thing, they pass it on. And they come to Brother Ray, and they said, you're going to start Truth Baptist Church, and we're going to be members just like you guys. And we want to give the church a good start, and we want to give our diary. They didn't have nothing but that, I'm promising you, right? And Brother Ray said, I can't do that. I can't take that. He refused it. And they said, no, Pastor, you don't understand. We done got saved. And God has told us to do this to help this church get on a solid footing. Huh? And they made Brother Ray take that. Later, God called him to preach. And he's now pastoring a good Bible-believing church in Beijing. I don't know what he's running. Do you know what he's running? He's running a good crowd. And he's always, he's country as day long. You think I'm country. He's country. Huh? He wins college professors to the Lord. He wins educated people to the Lord. He's a soul winning dude. They love God. But what the reason he popped that in my mind, I had no intention of sharing it. But it goes back to what he just had me to say. I had no intention of talking about what he's going to call on you to do either. God wanted me to tell you this. But he's going to call on you to do something. If he's give you the desires of your heart, you'll do it. And you're not going to care what it is. I'm a second chance preacher. He called me to preach about 6 months, about 9.5 years old or so. He called me to preach. Every preacher I'd ever seen in my life was poor as dirt. And we were poor as dirt. And I didn't want to be poor as dirt. And I told God that. He burdened me about 6 months over it. And finally, after I said no, he quit. And at 42, he called me to preach. And it was a big thing in my life. I'd rather do what I've just done than eat. I love preaching. I love people. I've grown so in the Lord. I've grown more to know the Lord. Ephesians tells us about the fullness of God, that we can know the fullness of God. And if you get these desires from Him, you can know the love of God, the fullness of God. And it don't matter what He wants. He may never ask you for any more than your tithe, but if He does, he may put you in something that you can't do, but you can. Make sense or no? It's just that it comes from Him, out of me, the heart. He knows your heart, knows mine. So He wants me to ask you to absolutely turn your heart over to Him. No holds barred, and trust Him. And don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on the Word of God. And let Him use you. Now you're in. I'm going to use the word. I think it's right. If I understand things, I believe you guys are on holy ground. And you just got to take off your shoes and let God use you now. And don't question it. I'm speaking to you from my heart. It's important. You've got a young pastor, and all pastors make mistakes. When your pastor makes a mistake, you love him through it. And you pray for him. Pray for him more than yourself. Because he can't do this without God. He can't do it. No man can. How about your heart? How is it? When he gives you desires of your heart, by the way, you won't have a pride problem. You won't have an arrogance problem. You literally won't care what he wants. You just want to know it. Let's stand by our heads. Brother Zach, you come.